what friends are for. Absolutely. Coming together. Thank you. There is a sink. And great and glorious morning to all of you. I am Reverend Dr. Cheryl McCullough, and it is with our sincere gratitude that you join us today in service with us. Whether you're online, we greet you there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Or I love seeing your beautiful faces in this sanctuary, right? Right, where we can come together. And there's so many things we have going on. I have to put in this pitch up and now, because yesterday we had a wonderful nature walk at the Arboretum, right? Raise your hands, those who were there. And we do so many things at this spiritual community that people don't take advantage of. So please come on out, listen to our announcements, open those emails when you get them, and find out, yes, and find out what your church home is doing and participate, because it is, we are your friends. That's what we're for. And we are saying, look up, child, when you're saying, where are you? We're here. So please, please take advantage of that. Now, I'll put a pin in that. Anyway, again, welcome. This is your divine appointment, and we are grateful that you are here. We have the opportunity today to have a guest speaker, giving thanks for our wonderful senior minister, Reverend Sylvia. She's taking a pause today, but has opened it up for someone to step in and step up and share a word with us. And our speaker today, and Tame, I keep saying that, but it's, and she said, that's okay. Tame Keeves is here. She'll give you the correct. And she's an honors graduate of Harvard Law School, left her law practice to write and help others to create the life they're born for. She is the best-selling author of 5 books, including her newest groundbreaking book, Learning to Trust Yourself, Breaking Through the Blocks That Hold You Back. Featured in USA Today, Oprah Media, TEDx, and more, she is a sought-after speaker and visionary career success coach who has helped thousands worldwide to discover and thrive in the life and work of their dreams. We need that. She's also taught A Course in Miracles 4 years and is known for her smart, I love this, spitfire spirituality, electric humor, and the big possibilities she brings out in others. So for those inspired moments that you need daily, join her at TameKeeves.com for free goodies, and we all like free stuff, and on her social media sites. So without further conversation, Tame, please come up and share a word with us today.
So can you hear me okay? Is this okay? Yes. So I want to just ask a question to begin with, just to start off. Maybe a show of hands, please. How many of us sometimes have trouble trusting ourselves or trusting that we're hearing that inner spirit, that inner divine, that we know exactly what to do at all times? Anybody sometimes have trouble trusting that? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're in the house now. All right. So we're in the right place, because learning to trust yourself is the most important thing you will ever learn in your lifetime. Learning how to trust your spirit, your intelligence, your love, and feeling that connection is, to me, the most important thing that we'll ever do. And it's not just listening to an inner voice. It's listening to an inner voice of love. That's what we're learning. And one of the things that I learned was that my relationship to myself determined the relationship I have to the divine. meaning when I'm judging myself, should that ever happen, but when I'm judging myself of, I can't hear the voice of love. I can't hear the voice of genius. I can't hear the voice of inspiration, right? So I want to do something here together, if you will, with me. I want to create a safe space, more than just a talk. I want this to be an experience for all of us. I want to really create the energy. You know how they say where two or more are gathered, that's where the spirit is? Let's do that, right? And so to do that, I want to create this safe space. We're going to practice this together. And what I want you to do is to practice during this talk, not judging yourself. Not judging yourself. That's the practice. The other practice is not judging anybody else here. And the most important practice is not judging me. Right? So we're not judging me. We're not judging you. We're not judging anybody, because when there's judgment, we can't hear guidance. Right? And we want to open up to something new in this moment. So you with me? Cool. Excellent. So I will just start off by asking, what do you think stops us from hearing an inner voice? And what I know is, if you are not hearing your own inner voice, you are listening to someone else. So if you're not hearing your own inner voice, you're listening to someone else. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the media? God forbid. Are you listening to the culture? Are you listening to education? Are you listening to a relative, maybe? If you're not listening to that divine genius that's in you, who are you listening to? For me, I was listening to my mother. That's who I was listening to. When I was younger, I knew that I wanted to write. That was my dream. I knew I wanted to write. I took creative writing in high school. I read Catcher in the Rye. I fell in love with writing. The creative writing teacher was gorgeous. So it was like, oh, this is a sign, right? All things are adding up, you know? And so I went home to share this fabulous news with my family that I found my calling. I found my dream. But I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, to an Orthodox Jewish family. Yeah. And so if you said you wanted to write, nobody said mazel tov. Nobody, right? My mother said something like, you're going to write? You're going to write? You're going to starve, you're going to write. And that was the go for your dreams talk. That was what I got, right? And then my mother, being a practical woman, said something like, what? You can't get a job? You'll write on the Sundays. The practical plan. And by the way, I have spoken a lot and shared my mother a lot with different people. And people always come up to me afterwards and say, you sure your mother wasn't Puerto Rican? You sure your mother wasn't French? You sure your mother wasn't African? You sure your mother was, you know, all the different, you know, nationalities, because we're all the same. Right? Because, again, we are all being taught, be safe, be practical, be rational. Don't listen to that genius that's in you and only in you. There is a soul, there is a love that is in you, that is only in you. Right? But I didn't know any of this back then, so I just crushed my dreams. And I just went off and did what I was supposed to do. And I went to law school, because that's what I was supposed to do. And I went to Harvard Law School. And I graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. And my mother was very proud. And she was bragging in every synagogue for all she was worth. Oh, my little girl, I don't want to tell you. Should I tell you? Right? And you may have had a situation like this where your life is looking right, or you're doing what somebody else says is a good idea for you, but it doesn't feel right, but something feels empty, but something feels missing. And so for me, I started practicing law, and I was on partnership track in a major law firm, and I started feeling really, really empty and really scared. Because if you're not listening to your soul, if you're not listening to your intelligence, it's supposed to feel empty. It's supposed to not feel right. And so thank God somebody said to me an amazing thing at that time, and he said, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't even love, what could you do with what you love? Right? And that became that question for me. And I decided I wanted to know in my lifetime what would happen if I listened to the voice of love inside me instead of fear? Because fear, by the way, can sound like practicality, right? So, and so I decided to leave that situation and follow that voice. And I know a lot of times people think, oh, well, she must have had money because she was an attorney and blah, blah, blah. No, she did not. No, she did not, for the record. You know, because, by the way, it's very expensive to be unhappy. Right? You know, like there's therapy bills, there's Ayurvedic healings, there's wine. I mean, it's expensive. You know, that is not cheap to be unhappy. Right? But I left without a plan, without anything, because I wanted to know where this voice would take me. I wanted to try that. Right? That's what, that was one of my experiments of learning to trust yourself. I'm really, really proud to say at this point, many, many years later, I've got 5 books out there now, most of them bestsellers. I've had the privilege of coaching thousands of people and helping them unlock their inner genius, right? And so I want to talk about 3 things today. We're going to talk about 3 things. One is going to be about following your breadcrumbs. About following breadcrumbs, that it's not so much about a big plan that happens, but that we're following moment by moment a breadcrumb, the next instinct, the next inclination. The second thing we're going to talk about is seeing yourself differently, right? Many of us are seeing ourselves as limited, as lacking, as our conditions, but we are co-partnered with an amazing force, every one of us, and we know that. Right? And so we're going to practice that. And the third thing is about undoing any belief that you have in the way of seeing your life right now, as perfect, as great, as good. Right? So we're going to play with that, because to me, those are the 3 concepts of learning to trust yourself. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is, again, following those breadcrumbs, right? How many of us sometimes think, but I want a plan, you know, like I'm asking for a plan. I'm asking for, you know, like, please, God, give me what I'm supposed to do, right? I always tell my clients, you can't plan an inspired life. You can't plan an inspired life. You're not going to see it. It's beyond what we can imagine. But we can follow moment by moment. There will be an instinct, even right now, of something that you might know that you're supposed to do or shift. And that's what we get. We follow that moment. So I'll give you an example. First, I will tell you that after I left law, I was banging around trying to figure out, you know, what I was supposed to do. And I finally decided to write my first book. And it took me 12 years to write that first book. Right. And so I know if some of you are thinking, oh, damn, I liked her. I was going to do the workshop. But 12 years, I don't have that kind of time. Right. So I will back up and tell you, I think it took me 11 years to trust myself and 11 years to believe in this universe and 11 years to believe I was worth something. Right? And to undo the paradigm, undo the conditioning, and 1 year to write a book. So I say that because if you're feeling like life is taking a long time or it's taking you a while to get anywhere, please keep in mind, those of us in this room, those of us online in this room, right? We're doing something very different. We're undoing conditioning. We're undoing a way of thinking. We're learning how to do something we're not taught. That's amazing. So next time somebody, you know, is asking you, what'd you do today? You're going to be like, I shifted the paradigm. What'd you do? You know, like, oh, you just got a law degree? So when I was deciding what to do, like after the 12 years, I thought, I don't know what to do with this book. I don't know how to get it published. I don't, you know, I read about commercial publishing and self-publishing. And so I asked that inner voice, just show me what to do. Just show me what to do. And I got this voice and it said, just put it in the river. Just put it in the river. Isn't that pretty? What the heck does that mean? Like, in terms of publishing, what does that mean? And so I knew intuitively, because first of all, I live in Denver, Colorado. There are no rivers, right? So I was just thinking, like, what does that mean? But I knew intuitively what it meant was put it, publish it, self-publish it, do whatever you have to do, put it in the stream of life And if it's supposed to go somewhere, it will, right? I knew intuitively that's what it meant, but I didn't want that answer. Have you ever done anything? Have you ever, like, asked guidance for an answer, and then you get one, and it's like, can I get a second opinion? Can I, like, maybe have a lucrative answer, please, just once, you know? Because I knew that it meant, like, you know, if I was going to self-publish, it meant, like, oh, my God, I have to print. I didn't know anything about marketing or distribution or anything, right? And so it's just terrifying. But I figured I have followed this voice all the way. I'm going to see where it goes. I'm going to do it. And the second you decide that you're going to follow, that you're going to follow that light in you, that you're going to trust this light, the second you decide that, you're going to meet the most judgmental person. You are going to meet the most judgmental person, right? I don't know why, but that's what happens. I went to an ex-boyfriend's house, and I went to a Passover dinner. And I sat down next to this woman, and she was my mother on steroids. And she's drinking very bad wine all night. And she starts grilling me and starts going, so you're going to publish a book? And you know nothing about marketing? And you know nothing about distribution? And you're putting your own money into this? You're very ambitious. Right, which is code, right, for you're a nut, you know, step away from my kids, you know. And so I'm thinking, what do I tell this woman? Oh, my God, what do I tell this woman? Do I tell her, don't worry, I have a plan. I'm going to put it in a river. Do I tell her, don't worry, I'm following an inner voice. It's very nice. Because you know how, like, in rooms like this, we pride ourselves on that? We pride ourselves on listening? You go talk to somebody normal. That doesn't fly too well, right? But we are the presence of the alternative. We are the ones who are going to do this, right? So there's always going to be these moments where you're trusting yourself, and it's going to be a choice point. You're going to get scared. And the work to me is, am I going to follow that love, or am I going to follow fear? So I made that decision at that end, like, I've gone this far, I decided to self-publish that book. I will just cut to the chase. A lot of things happened. But the most amazing thing that happened was 4 months after I had self-published it, I got an email out of the blue, and it literally said, you would probably think it's spam, right? I mean, you know, you probably think you're going to open it up and it's going to be, Russian girls are waiting for you. You know, there's money for you in an unknown kingdom. Just give us your bank account. You know, I mean, just like, you know, but I opened it up, and it was actually an email from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. Yeah. And she wrote to me. She'd been in a career transition and stumbling, and I guess she was on Amazon, and she somehow found my self-published book, somehow. And she wrote to me and said, this is the best book I've ever read on finding your calling, doing your dream. I want to get it to a major New York publisher, which to me was like saying, I want to help you meet God now, you know. She got it to the publisher I'd always dreamed of. It was Tarcher, Prada Penguin, and Random House, all of that. And the most amazing thing, they published the book exactly the way that it was. They took a self-published book, and they published it exactly the way that it was. They kept the writing. They edited maybe 10 sentences out of the whole book. They kept that. They kept my title. I had purple ink in it, you know, because I like purple, you know, and they kept the purple of just, they didn't change it. And it was, as an unknown author, I would never have gotten to that level had I done the conventional things, if I had done all the things you're supposed to do that everybody else tells you, you need to do this and you need to do that. But following that inspired instinct, you can't plan an inspired life. I couldn't plan, I'm going to have a meltdown for 12 years. Some woman's going to have a meltdown at the end of 12 years and be searching for a book, and we're going to meet, and that's my business plan. It's like, you know, you can't make that happen. But here's the thing. Every one of us has a plan within us. Every one of us has a trajectory in our lives. But it's following moment by moment what we're meant to do, right? That's the breadcrumbs. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about was shifting the way that we see ourselves, learning how to see ourselves differently. Because I'm sure if you're like me, you might have been listening to that story and going, yeah, well, that happened for her. You know, yeah, that happens for her, but then it ain't happening for me, or blah, blah, blah. We start separating ourselves, right? We start thinking those things can't happen for us. One of the things I've had to learn constantly is to see myself differently. And by that, it means I've had to work on seeing myself as partnered with this light. If this light is real, if this unbelievable force is real, and I'm partnered with it, I have different possibilities than who I think I am when I'm my smaller self, right? So I'm going to read you something briefly from my new book, Learning to Trust Yourself, because before I started writing this book, I was asking Spirit, what should I write about, blah, blah, blah. And I got this voice, and it said, I need you to see yourself as the beloved. I need you to see yourself as the beloved. And I need you to teach other people that they are the beloved. And while that sounds lovely, I freaked out. You know, while that sounds lovely, I'm like, what? Me? Are you kidding? Right? So I'm going to read you a part of the book from Learning to Trust Yourself, a little bit about this. And maybe you'll take this in as you being the beloved. So let me do this. Alrighty. Years ago in a meditation, I cried out to my inner teacher, how do I reach you? What am I supposed to focus on? I got this message back from the diamond cave of my interior world. I need you to be the beloved. Be the beloved. Say what now? I knew I was being asked to take my casual interest in faith and self-actualization and go deeper, go truer, and go all the way. I knew I had to start walking forward without self-doubt, to trust in the radical love of an energy I couldn't fathom, but I could not deny. I knew it meant I needed to trust myself and my life and allow it to unfold in a way that showed me I was guided and that I could trust. Second-guessing myself wasn't helping me. It was time to stop telling myself I was ineffectual. I had the edge that gave me every advantage. I wasn't limited to the perception of my reptilian brain. I possessed this current of deep knowing brilliance, an energy sourced in limitlessness. Ernest Holmes says, "The life of the spirit is my life. All of its strength is my strength. Its power is my power." Part of me railed. How is believing in a loving universe realistic? There is genocide, racism, blue algae in the lakes of my childhood, corrupt politicians, and y'all live in Washington, D.C., so you know this, corrupt politicians and global warming. And on a personal level, I had someone drop out of a class, which goes to show the universe hates me. And yet, even as my inner tantrum spewed cynicism and a few truly unnecessary comments about a certain muffin top situation developing, I felt peaceful. Like when you know you've lost steam for an argument. Really, once you touch the truth, it's non-negotiable. I knew what I knew. I knew there was an unbearable love in this world, and I wanted to serve it. I didn't know the name of this mystery. I didn't need to know the name of this mystery because I knew the certainty. I also knew that when I felt love, my doubts disappeared. Be the beloved. I knew what this commitment asked. I would listen to my instincts more than to my defenses. Yes, there was a part of me that doubted, but there was a part of me that did not. There was a part of me that knew I was here to thrive. So, thank you. Thank you. Can you imagine if you were living in knowing there's a part of you that doubted, but there's a part of you that does not? Right? You'd be undiluted, right? So the third thing I just want to talk to you a little bit about is undoing any belief that you have that is currently in the way of you loving your life right now, right? Any belief that you might have that's currently in the way of you loving your life right now. Because you know how I said in the beginning, if I'm judging something, I'm not guided. If I'm judging something, I'm not inspired, right? So when I'm judging my life, I'm not connected to the spirit in my life, right? So one of the things that we know is that it's not so much what happens to us that affects our happiness. It's not the conditions, it's not the money, it's not the people. Maybe sometimes it's the people a little bit, maybe, but what do you think it is, right? If it's not that, what is it that really bothers us? I'm curious, anybody have any? I can't hear you guys. Self-doubt, thank you. Yes, self-doubt of it's not the belief, it's not the circumstances, it's not money, it's not this. It's what we make it mean. It's the story we tell ourselves. It's the interpretation of what's going on. You have certain beliefs in your life, certain stories you tell yourself about your life, and that's what you're experiencing. Because here's the real deal. We experience the belief. We don't experience reality. We're not even seeing the reality. We're seeing what we believe. Neuroscience, by the way, has shown that when you have a belief, your mind has a belief, your mind will go out, find the circumstances that match that belief, and show it to you, and you're always right. Isn't that wonderful? You're always right. You're not happy, but you are right, right? And so what we look at is, what if we could look at those beliefs, right? Like those stories that are in the way. So I started looking at myself. I started looking at, well, what belief do I have in the way? And I had one belief that kept coming up over and over and over. And it was always, I never get what I want. I never get what I want. Even when things were, like certain things would happen that were good or whatever, there would be this secret belief that said, I never get what I want, right? So a new client would cancel and it would be like, see, I never get what I want, right? A friend couldn't meet me for dinner. See, I never get what I want. My favorite lipstick color was discontinued. Which you women, we know this is a crime, right? This is a crime of, and it'd be like, see, I never get what I want, right? It would just always come up. And so I started looking at, like, where the heck did that belief come from? And I had this memory of when I was a little girl, I was shopping with my mother in a department store, Alexander's, and I was shopping with her, and I saw these red shoes that I wanted with all my little girl heart, right? I fell in love with these red shoes, and I thought, but I'm with my mother. I'm never getting them, you know, because my mother's practical. There's no way she's getting the red shoes, right? She's going to go, red shoes? Who needs from red shoes, right? You know, or just like, get the green elf shoes. They're on sale. You're going to love those, right? But that day, it was a miracle. She said I could have them. It was a miracle. And so I was like so excited. I was getting these red shoes and I'm watching the sales clerk wrap it in this tissue paper of the shoes. And then she's taking the tissue paper and the shoes and she's putting it in the box. And then she's taking the box and she's putting it in the shopping bag. And I am so excited. She hands the bag to my mother. I can't even believe it. And then later my mother lost the shopping bag. And I never got the red shoes. Yes, that is the appropriate response. You know, and so I was just heartbroken. And I think I made a decision in my little girl mind that said, I'm going to protect myself from hurt. And I'm just going to tell myself, I never get what I want. See, I'll never get what I want. And so I started closing down my heart and not noticing everything else and thinking that that would protect me, right? And we all do this. We think these beliefs will protect us. And I didn't realize how much good I was closing off because I was afraid to believe again. I was afraid to trust again. I was afraid to love again because I was always going to tell myself, you're not going to get what you want, right? That was an amazing realization for me that changed my life. But the even more amazing thing about this story, I shared this story with my mother years later. I was telling her about this memory. She, of course, did not remember it at all because it was a pivotal moment in my childhood. So why should she remember it? No, but she finally remembered it, and she's going, "What are you talking about? You got those red shoes." And I'm like, "Yeah, Ma, I know we got the red shoes, but then you lost them." And she's like, "Yeah, I lost them. And then we called the store found them, and you got those red shoes." I have no memory of that. I have no memory of that. I remember my belief. I remember my story, but I don't remember reality, right? And we are all doing this. We are all just seeing what we believe instead of really opening up to what your soul, your spirit, your love wants to show you about you and about your life right now, right? So in A Course in Miracles, there's this concept that says we are here to undo the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, right? Meaning that love is always present. The miracle is always present. Genius is always present. But our awareness of it is not always present, right? So I just want to basically tell you, you know, to close, is that you have an extraordinary soul. We are all the beloved. Your soul is extraordinary. Your gifts are extraordinary. Your life is extraordinary. Your beliefs are not so hot. Right? They're not so hot, right? But everything that is happening currently in your life is here to help you change that so that you experience what's real. So you don't need me to tell you that we are living in challenging times, that we are living in crazy, challenging times. But I believe that we were born for these times. I believe every one of us sitting here, everybody watching, everybody that's going to watch this later, we came in for this, right? You have gifts in you that no one else has. You have love in you that expresses itself like no one else. You know, to me, what learning to trust yourself is about is really about learning to unlock the powers of the universe in you. And that we have these gifts and these dreams for a reason, right? So I will just end with one of my favorite quotes. It's attributed to Jesus in the Gnostics of Thomas. And it says, "If you bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will save you. If you do not bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will destroy you." It's a little gift of guilt for my people. Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to thank you so much. Thank all of us, because we are the beloved, baby. I'm just going to mention just a few quick things about the workshop, and then we'll go into a guided meditation a little bit. If you can join me for the workshop, please do. I am not kidding. I've been running around the country just so I can do these workshops because they are amazing. Getting us together, there's nothing like getting inspired souls together. If you've been struggling with any kind of transition, anything going on, health, money, career, relationship, anything, we are going to learn how to really hear what's up for you right now, that next step for you right now. I coach for a living, and that's what I make all these workshops very interactive, very experiential. I want to learn you. I want to know you. And I want to get you talking to each other so that you have support forevermore, right? So you know how I said before, you can't plan an inspired life. So I don't care about your plans, right? You can't plan an inspired life. Come join us. And so if you need to come late, come late. If you need to leave early, leave early. Just get some of it if you can. I would love to see you there. While I'm here also in Washington, D.C. today, Sunday, and then part of tomorrow, I'm also doing some private coaching sessions if you'd like to join me. If you want to do a one-on-one and have a real shift, they're also discounted. And then also join me. I'm signing books, and please make sure you get on the mailing list because we are building a global community of people who are living in inspiration instead of fear. And speaking of community, please support your local community. Please support Unity of Washington, D.C. You know, sometimes people take for granted the love that's around them, the organizations that are helping them all the time. It takes so much work and so much love and so much dedication. I can't encourage you enough to, especially in these times, we need each other, right, to support our communities and our love. So I can't wait to play with some of you later or at another time. So we're going to just take some of those words from the talk, anything that spoke to you, and we're just going to do a meditation to kind of just let this sift down beyond the realm of the mind. So if you will, find a comfortable position and just allowing yourself to take a deeper breath, breathing all the way into your essence, that essential part of you that already knows this truth, that has always known this truth. Let your shoulders relax. And together, as a unified consciousness, we are breathing in and we are breathing out. Maybe placing your hand on your heart or any other gesture that is comforting for you. Letting yourself just breathe in. I am breathing in my willingness to receive the truth in me. And I am releasing stories I've told myself, any idea that I am separate from this beloved energy within me. Taking this in for a moment, I am the beloved. I am the beloved. I am beloved. And when I begin to realize this, there is a different frequency in me, different possibilities, different energies. Together we are inviting spirit in, this universal consciousness that goes by many names. Use the name that speaks to you. And together we are just breathing, allowing. Perhaps reminding yourself, there is nothing I need to do to be the beloved. I am the beloved. And when I trust myself, when I really trust my love, everything is possible. When I really trust myself, when I trust the beloved, when I trust this energy of energies, everything is possible. So in this moment, just for a moment, what is it that you would like to open your heart up to? What is it that you would like to surrender to the power of the beloved? What is it? Just allowing yourself to have an inner conversation. What is it that your inner teacher wants you to know in this moment? Perhaps there's a word. Perhaps there's a feeling. And together for this moment, if you will, those of you who are online with us, those of you who are in this room, those of you who are watching at another time, we are holding each other. We are holding each other. We are now holding each other in strength, in light, Even if you thought you were alone, we are with you. We are with you. And you are with us. Together we are holding this light. We are knowing this truth. For everyone. For everyone. They need us to know this. And just for a moment more, perhaps reminding yourself, there is a part of me that doubts. There is a part of me that does not and knows. Just letting yourself rest for a moment more. Receiving whatever you need. And when it feels right to you, and in your own right time, just begin to allow your holy, amazing self to begin to return into something new. When it feels right to you, allowing yourself to begin to return.
And then just, yes. Thank you, Tama. Thank you. It was a light-filled gift, and we appreciate it. We receive it, right? Because we do have to trust that Christ consciousness within us, because it is us. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, and everything is possible.